Patriots and Seahawks on Sunday. You see who the Patriots just announced as the keeper of the light?
I literally just came across the news desk. Patriots Media Relations just issued a press release.
Ooh.
So,
Do I have that? Oh, I do have that.
Yeah. Oh, did you see it on Twitter?
No, I saw the Patriots tweeted out in the last 10 minutes or so. Yeah, they've now put out a press
release. So, to perform the keeper of the light duties, which I guess they're going to do this again this year. Who didn't Kenny Chesney do it last year?
Yeah, they
Lighthouse guy.
Yep, Kenny Chesney was one.
Tom Brady, Chesney.
Yeah, Brady Jovi did the
did it a couple
Brady
times.
Did the opener. Yep. Yeah, Bon Jovi saving lives. By the way,
yeah, that's
see
impressive.
That?
I didn't see it. You told me about that though.
Yeah.
He was out on the
somebody ready
bridge?
To jump off a bridge in Nashville. And he talked him down Jeez. Off the bridge. I mean, and I've taken a lot of shots at Bon Jovi, but
no,
I mean, tremendous work by him. I didn't realize he was capable of such
it's
a
incredible.
Thing. But yeah, he was keeper of the light. Kenny Chesney, keeper of the light.
Who would be the best keeper of the light possible?
Well, Brady.
Tom Brady would be?
Oh, like for this game specifically or just period?
For the game against Seattle.
Oh.
You think like Cassius Marsh?
I think they have it. I think the Patriots actually knocked
this
out.
This is the best one?
It's hard to do much better.
All right, who is it?
Malcolm Butler.
What?
What do you mean what?
How is he? I still don't understand. Not to go back to the whole thing, but
no,
he
right
signed here, which
yeah.
was insane to yeah. me, and then never played. He got hurt and then was released or an injury designation or whatever. And now he's coming back to be the keeper of the light. Now, people love him here. He is.
They should.
We're all convinced they would have won another Super Bowl had he just played.
Yeah.
So, like, whether that's true or not, we all assume that to be the case. So he is very, very well liked. I just don't know why he would give the Patriots the time of day.
Oh, fair. I
that's all I'm saying.
Well. Why do you think?
He's intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Unbelievable.
Unreal.
Unreal, in fact.
Why do you think? Why do you think he plays nice with the Patriots?
Bag of cash.
They play nice with him.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're taking care of him, obviously.
It's just Belichick. No, but he re-signed. Like, that throws anybody's wild goose theories as to what happened, like, out the window, the fact that he came back here.
Does it?
Kinda.
Mm.
How bad could it have been if he came back here?
Well,
it also proves that Belichick should have played him. Not just going down this whole Malcolm Butler rabbit
hole.
Yeah,
no, yeah, let's do it.
We're
yeah,
not doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
We spent years.
Yeah.
I spent years on this. But him coming back is the most bizarre thing of the whole scenario. Like, him getting benched is obviously wrong, and then goes somewhere else. And then Mike Vrabel signs him. Doesn't play all that well in Tennessee, but got money, so good for him. And then he comes back? Wow. Obviously, he shouldn't have been benched.
Yeah.
If you're able to re-sign the guy, my take at the time
was
if he wasn't in prison, he should have played him.
Seriously, never should have been benched, obviously.
Yeah.
And even if there was bad blood and animosity between he and Bill, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Even if there was, okay, fine.
Play him.
Well, and also,
Travis Kelce almost punched out Andy Reid on the sideline during the Super Bowl. He went right back out there.
And maybe, you know, maybe there's certain things on both sides people didn't want getting out. So the best thing to do is keep it quiet and we'll pay you. You keep
Nothing.
Quiet. And
the dynasty couldn't unearth it. Nobody's unearthed it.
This is more evidence that, yeah, they're all moving on. And Malcolm Butler, keeper of the light.
It is fitting that it's against Seattle, obviously.
It's perfect.
But
if you are a Seattle fan and you have to watch, now it's a guarantee. You're probably going to see it anyway. But it's a guarantee. You're going to see that pick. You're going to see that highlight. It's going to get thrown in your face.
Wow.
You got Pete Carroll chomping on his gum like a moron.
Worst decision. All right, ready?
You have Marshawn Lynch like standing on the sidelines laughing at everybody. You have the defense all hating Russell Wilson, who is still modern day standing around in his pads with his eye black on like a loser. And so you get all that thrown back in you. This guarantees it. Great choice by the Patriots.
Yeah, it is. Worst coaching decision, not running the ball with Marshawn Lynch or not playing Malcolm Butler. Which one would you be more upset about? As a Patriots fan, Bill, or as a Seahawks fan,
it's benching
Pete?
Butler.
See, I think one play, I blame Pete more.
I
think that's worse. Because Marshawn Lynch would have scored a touchdown the very next play if he handed
Maybe,
him the ball. No,
but,
he for sure.
But it's a one-off. Like the fact
exactly. It's a one-off, whereas the Butler thing
worse.
Is all game long. You don't know. They might have still lost that game.
Okay, but that's what makes it a worse decision. All game, they're watching him getting carved up, and they're like, still
Nick Foles,
no.
good quarterback, though.
Still no.
Good quarterback.
Still no. Like, that's what makes it worse. The amount of opportunities they had to change their mind
dumb.
Makes it worse. One is, boom, snap judgment, I made the
but
wrong decision.
Why would you throw the ball?
Okay, it is stupid.
That's real bad.
It is they're two of the stupidest decisions of all time.
Like in a four-year span.
I'm not saying one's good. I'm saying which one's worse.
No, that's fine.
Benching Butler.
I just, when you go back and watch that game, so Marshawn Lynch had a good run. He got tackled at whatever the two-yard line was. And then they show him in the backfield, and he always looked like such a badass, Marshawn Lynch. He looked like
still,
one of the hardest guys. He still
every time
badass.
I watch the Amazon Prime commercial, I'm like, what a badass.
But he's standing behind Russell Wilson. He's got like his hands on his knees. He's got the tinted shield. And you're like, this guy is going to run it through the back of the end zone if they hand him the ball. And then they're like, nope, let's try to mix it into like Ricardo Lockett or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, no, do that.
So I maintain I think that's the best Super Bowl ever played.
I
was about to say it's my favorite. I guess that's still 36.
Mine's definitely the Rams, Greatest Show on Turf, Ty Law pick six. But
the
Seattle
one,
game was a great game.
And what that Super Bowl, it was a great game.
Yeah.
And it was two tremendous teams, right? The Patriots went on to win
three
Super Bowls with that group. Seattle was about to win back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, derailed a potential dynasty.
Correct. Yep. And so, like, those were great teams going back and forth at one another. It was a back and forth fourth quarter, maybe not a back and forth game. Tremendous fourth quarter.
No, but there was a lot of stressful plays. Like that was a serious game.
It's, you know, it's Super Bowl winning coaches on both sides, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks on both sides. Yep. Like it was a tremendous amount of talent on both sides.
A lot of Hall of Famers. It'll be interesting to see how many Hall of Famers come out of that game.
You know, so like it was a great, great game. It was great, great all-time teams, I think, going back and forth.
Yeah.
And what that Super Bowl represented. It was the second wave. Like, we were talking about this yesterday. Robert Kraft was campaigning since 2012.
Yeah, they hadn't won a Super Bowl in 10
years.
That
he wants to be in the Hall of Fame. They still only had the three, only.
Well, yeah, right.
They still only had the three. And it had been a decade since they broke through. And that's how they broke through. I think it's the best Super Bowl ever played.
Well, and it also killed off some of the questions about Brady.
100%.
You know, like, all that stuff. Yep.
Brady, it shut people up about Spygate.
Yep.
You know, we had to open it up again with Deflategate, but,
it
shut people up about one of them anyways. Mm-hmm. And even in real time, it shut people up about Deflategate to a degree.
I think it did.
Right?
Yeah, because well, this is clearly on the up and up.
So,
and
they so you shut people up about two cheating scandals as much as you could.
Yeah, well, right.
And so, yeah, I think it was a great, great Super Bowl. It's right there neck and neck for my favorite Patriots Super Bowl with Super Bowl 36.
Yeah, no, it was incredible. That they weren't, you know, big underdogs like they were against the Rams. And it's the first one. And just the greatest show on turf, but it's also Legion of Boom. Like, first of all, the nicknames need to come back. Any more good nicknames?
Yeah.
Those are two of the best. But an incredible fourth quarter, and then one of the greatest plays. Like, if you're a Seattle fan, you're saying it's the worst decision ever made. If you're a Patriots fan, you're like, that's the greatest play in Super Bowl history. Malcolm Butler coming up with the interception.
Pete, we're already getting 28-3, best Super Bowl. Nah.
So I think
it's the Falcons.
It's also the greatest comeback ever,
yes.
Like statistically, and just watching it, and it's unbelievable. That's reason number 10,100 to stick with a Tom Brady game and never rule him out. But the actual game, start to finish, the Seattle game,
and it's the Falcons.
It's the Falcons.
It's Kyle Shanahan, who, as we came to find out, they lose every Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan, Dan Quinn, losers.
Like, to me, that's why I give Seattle a leg up, because they were the defending champs, and they were on their way to winning back to back,
and that really blew them up. Like, them losing that game, now the defense, Richard Sherman's mom hates Pete Carroll. Like, remember, it became like, it was over.
Yeah.
When that happened, it was over for them. I think they squeezed out a few more playoff runs, maybe, but, like, they weren't, that could have been back-to-back.
The players all hated, they started to hate Pete Carroll, they started to hate Russell Wilson. Like, that was the downfall of Russell Wilson.
Yep.
And so, if you're just tuning in, why are we talking about a Super Bowl from a decade ago? Malcolm Butler will be the keeper of the light. If you're unfamiliar with what that is, the stupid lighthouse there, he'll go up there and ring the bell before the game.
How about this? More than 20 former teammates will be there as well.
From that team.
For a reunion of that Super Bowl
team. So I was just going to say this. I also think that 2014 team is a very underappreciated Patriots all-time team.
Insane. So that might be their best defense of the last, since 04 maybe.
Yeah, right. Agreed. Yeah, yeah. And so, and you think that team had Chandler Jones. That team had,
Butler, Jones, Hightower, Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner.
Right, but you think about some of the guys who won multiple titles. Maybe you forget about Chandler. He was on that team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so that was a stacked, stacked team. Revis, as you just said, for
they
a one-off.
Still had Collins, right?
So I think, yes, Jamie Collins is another good one. So I think when you discuss the greatest Patriots teams of all time, I would argue 04. I get it if you want to argue 07. I personally wouldn't, but I get it. To me, 14 is right there with those teams.
16, they had a better regular season record, and they ranked higher both offensively and defensively.
And 16, they won without Gronk.
Right.
Gronk was hurt.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was like Martellus Bennett in the Super Bowl.
Well, then it's funny, because then you go to 17, where they have Gronk, but they don't have Edelman, which is a big feather in the cap to Edelman. It was almost like he was a more important go-to guy, even though Gronk is the greatest tight end of all time. It was like the team, then Brady kind of needed Edelman more than Gronk in a crazy way.
Yeah, and so look, it's 10 years on from that Super Bowl, And Malcolm Butler will be there. 617-779-7937. Our buddy JP's in North Providence. Go ahead, JP. You like this move?
Jones, it would be funny if the last minute they bench Butler and they bring somebody else up to do it. That would be outstanding.
That would be good.
So, Jones, I got a great idea for the keeper, and then I got a tough question. I'm going with William Defoe. He was in the lighthouse, and he could fly around it as the Green Goblin. That would be pretty cool, shining some lights up there.
That's nice.
And
that's good.
My tough question, Jones, who is the best out of the Jones coaching broadcast tree? Is it Keith, Cattle, or Arcand? It's a tough question, Jones.
Ooh, the Jones tree.
Well, I'm very that's biased. Don't shortchange Mego. I'm very biased on this, but I would argue for Rich Keith.
That's very kind.
Yeah, yeah. Ask me. You know, after 2 o'clock, and maybe I would answer differently.
It could change. It could change.
But that's a good question by him. I never saw The Lighthouse.
Neither did I. It's a Robert Eggers movie where it's Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe just like screaming at each other, going mad
in a lighthouse.
Apparently, it's very good.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe in another weird accent screaming at Robert Pattinson.
Willem Dafoe was also in the Beetlejuice movie that just came out.
Nice.
He's good in it.
Wow,
he's good in everything. Willem Dafoe. Boondock Saints.
I was just gonna say Boondock Saints. You know, just replaying the the classical music.
The guy was good.
Did they reenact that on Always Sunny? I think Dennis reenacted.
I think that sounds right.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's Willem Dafoe.
It's a timeless classic.
It is. 617-779-7937. They bench Malcolm Butler from the Keeper of the Light.
Not bad. Well, I love how
who were those
like
bum ass corners that played in that Super Bowl. Who were the guy? Who was the guy?
Oh, Jordan Richards.
Johnson Batamosi,
Jordan Richards.
Jordan Richards. Yeah, you're right, Nick. That was one.
He's the one that replaced Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
I think Eric Rowe played, but he had a good game, right? There's something like that.
Doubtful.
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
I don't know if anybody had a good game.
Yeah,
really,
me neither.
As it turns out.
They gave up a billion points to Nick Foles.
No, but it is funny how they're like, they announce Malcolm Butler as this Keeper of the Light. You're like, hey, it's the 10-year anniversary of that team, and what a play. But, like, is that the first thought now with Malcolm Butler? Sadly,
no.
The greatest play in Super Bowl history for Patriots fans, it's not the first thought.
It's not.
And that's insane.
That is. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yes.
It's one of the greatest plays in football history. And when you hear Malcolm Butler, my first thought is, like, I wish he played in that Eagles game. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, right. He won you a Super Bowl, and then if he played in a second, he might have won you that, too. 617-779-7937. Again, just hot off the presses. Patriots will have Malcolm Butler, which is a great move. I rarely applaud the Patriots, but great move. He's going to be Keeper of the Light leading into that game against the Seahawks.